song kind of adds new meaning to being home for the holidays. What a terrific message in that song. We come to Christmas, which overwhelmingly is the favorite holiday of Americans. And celebration it is. It's a wonderful holiday. The day that God Himself broke into human history so that we may know Him. And that He would set forth His redemption to save mankind. So celebrate, we should. And even though this glorious event was broadcast by all of the angels of heaven, within one short generation, it was completely forgotten. It seems like for us, it's very easy to celebrate because this was the initiation of God's salvation being revealed to man. He breaks in to human history and here He comes. And we can get really excited about it looking back on it. But at the time, it was not God's plan that the whole world would see that the glory of heaven had come to earth. There wasn't a lot of loud celebration. There was a humble, poor environment in which Jesus kind of snuck in to human history. Totally obscure. So obscure that none of the Pharisees, none of the scribes, none of the Sanhedrin bothered to look of where this guy came from. That he was born in Bethlehem. That he was from the line of David. It was God's desire. That he kind of snuck in obscurity. Within this unbelievable set of circumstances of the Christmas story, in which it's about a God the Father with a plan, and God the Son who came to implement that plan, there was a young girl. There was a virgin who was placed in a really peculiar spot. We're going to look at her song of praise today in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And hopefully it will be enlightening for us as we prepare ourselves to celebrate Christmas. The first thing that I want us to see is what God has done for Mary in verses 46 through 49. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Now, the events surrounding Mary's journey to this point are somewhat unbelievable. There was obviously that journey that she took to Elizabeth's house to check up on Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist at this point, was with a real sense of urgency. A real sense of potency or power. A real sense of excitement that created a world of stress. And within this, as we look at Mary's presenting this hymn of praise, seems rather calm. Jump back up there to verse 38, and you can see that as Elizabeth is welcoming Mary into her company and is declaring to her what God has given her to say. And I think Elizabeth was clearly aware that she was speaking prophetically. And there was just a great deal of excitement and power in the words she delivered in terms of, wow, very God is coming into this world through you. And, you know, this is kind of exciting. And yet it comes to Mary, and Mary is calmly saying, I will sing praise. I will glorify my God. The word there for glorify is a word that means to magnify, to make large. As it is applied to God, we see it in exaltation, in praise, in glorification. In other words, the hymn that Mary is going to sing, she will be using her words to enlarge our spiritual picture of God because of what she is doing. As is very typical, and this is very, very much in order with the way we see the praise hymns all the way through the Old Testament, is that they will make a declaration of wanting to praise God and then go in and look at the reasons why. And that's exactly what Mary does here. She's praising God, and then she's going to go in and specifically tell the reasons. And we see this, that first she's talking about what God has done for her. God has put favor upon Mary. And we can see that within this, you know, she's calling God her Savior. Different place than an impersonal force of the universe. A Savior is someone you have a personal relationship, who you turn to provide for your need when there's nowhere else you can turn. Mary calls God her Savior, so she is drawing upon that personal relationship. And from her soul, she is glorifying that inner being. This isn't something she's making an outward show. She is drawn within her very being to, wow, this is what's coming out of me, because God, you are amazing me without any comparison. We see here that in verse 48, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Mary is stepping forward, and she's not saying that, you know, oh, here's God finally coming along to rescue a poor girl. That isn't her attitude at all. Her attitude is simply, yes, Lord, I love you with my whole heart. But there is nothing in me that would cause you to seek me, to desire to put your favor upon me. It is only your grace that you have so favored me among all others. An incredible picture of Mary's humility. And even though she knew that this was an absolutely glorious event and that generations forever are going to exalt her name, that she will be blessed, you can't help but imagine that she knew there was going to be some ridicule, that there was going to be some derision exactly headed on top of her because of the situation she found herself in. Because there weren't a lot of virgin births taking place in that day. And yet within that, Mary is saying, God has favored me, not because I'm special, not because of any special circumstance for me, but because his grace has rested upon me. And within that grace resting upon her, you know, she's saying that she is going to be blessed. We don't worship Mary. We don't turn her into some kind of a goddess. But we do recognize and should always speak well of her as being blessed, because God recognized a usable, humble servant that he would use to fulfill his plan. And Mary was willing to be that vessel. And so may we give Mary her due and speak of her well. She was a wonderful person, and it is no accident that God chose her. Number two, what God has done for us in verses 50 through 53. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Right now, we can see that all believers are now included. This is all who fear him for all generations. And I know there's a lot of people who trip up on the word fear, because it's not like, you know, we're afraid of God like we might be afraid of our father with some kind of paddle in his hand. This fear of God is an awe that he is like, wow. Like Isaiah was when he saw God and he said, whoa, I am undone, which basically means I fall to pieces, because this guy is wow. And within this picture of God, we want to find ourselves that we know we answer to him before we answer to anybody else. To live in fear of God is to say, to him and to him alone I must answer. To him and to him alone I give an account for my life. Knowing that never is there a priority given to pleasing my boss or my wife or my parents or whatever. It's always to God. That's fearing God. So the assumption here in what Mary is singing in praise to God is clearly that's not the behavior of an unbeliever. Only a believer is going to account for God in their life of doing things the way he wants them done. So Mary is setting that apart. And of course, within this, we can see that the Bible is always reinforcing this relationship between belief and obedience. We cannot separate, oh yeah, I believe Christ, but I want to do my own thing. Mary talks about what is the result of us living as God wants us to live. We will see God's mighty arm working on our behalf. Well, if we aren't going to be approaching God in humility, God, I need your help, why is he going to show his mighty arm? The only purpose for showing his mighty arm is for those who've said, God, I'm beyond my ability here. Help me. And God is willing to step in. So we can see that God is pleased with the humble. He's not so pleased with the proud. It's amazing how he's turning everything upside down here. Yeah, that we've got this whole picture here that Mary, for as we're looking at her doing this, she's not describing those things that God is going to do. These are all in the aorist tense, which is past. This is past completed action. So when he's saying that he's going to dethrone, and he's going to set up thrones, and he's going to take away, and he's going to add to, And you see the difference between the two sides. This is stuff God's already done. And it's the way he does things from generation to generation. This is where, kids, if you aren't really a fan of history, you should be. Because most of what's happened before is going to happen again. And so are we ready for it? And here we can see the humble he lifts up. The poor he gives things to. The hungry he feeds. But the proud, and we may be able to hide that for a while, but the proud in their inmost thoughts, God and God alone is the only one who knows. Then everything's going to be known, and those that do not come to God humbly but proudly are going to be left with nothing. It is here that we can see that within this idea of God lifts up the humble. And without a show of hands, we've all had humble moments. We've all had those times that we feel like we could hide behind a piece of lint in the crack on the floor. And when we trust God and he lifts us up, we feel like we're walking on air. We feel like we're just floating. Because that is such an amazing feeling. To be lifted up by the God of the universe. So within this picture here of this song of praise, isn't it nice to know that this is what God has done, is doing, will do for us? God helps the helpless. He lifts up the humble and feeds the hungry. And yet the self-sufficient, those that can do it on their own, are left empty. We must depend upon God, and from there he will sustain us and supply us with his grace. Thirdly, let us see what God has done for Israel. In verses 54 and 55, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Now within this, you know, Mary has seen God turn everything upside down. So who was in power loses their power. Who was rich is now poor. Who was poor is now rich. And this is what God is doing because of his grace for his own. It's within this picture that we see Mary turn the attention to the nation of Israel. The weak dethrone the mighty. The humble scatter the proud. The nobodies are exalted. And within this, we can see that now he's talking about his servant, Israel. Got all the way through the Old Testament. And yet we know that here the application is not the physical Israel. This is not national Israel. It's spiritual Israel. And in fact, those that are demonstrating faith like Abraham did. It's within that picture that we see that Abraham was accounted to God as being righteous because he believed him. And that's the way it is here. This is that servant that is going to be used by God in his plan to account for completion of his will. God has promised, God will deliver, and he will use those who believe in him to accomplish his will. As we think about this Christmas message, what can we do to take it home, make it work for us in our daily life? Number one, we need to trust God that he can turn the tables. We all face various trials, troubles, unpleasant circumstances, and difficult people, many of whom you will be rubbing shoulders with this week. It is within this that we can say, may they not also say I'm a difficult person, because it goes both ways. But God does not miss one single inequity, one single imbalance, one single wrong that is done to his own. But he defends them, and this is Mary's song. God turns things upside down. So what a glory that we have a God that looks out for us like that. You know, when we get ourselves into trouble, now we seem to find ourselves in difficult circumstances because of our own mistakes. God does not always rescue us right away. But I can tell you this, God does want every single troubling circumstance in our life to be for our spiritual growth, whether it has come from us, whether it's come from somebody else. They're all in the same category. Every single one of these circumstances is designed for us to come out of it looking more like Him. He wants to turn this around. And how do we do that? We humble ourselves. We surrender our will to His. Lord, my sufficiency is not in myself. It is in You. And thereby, He can take anything, whether it was unfairly thrown upon us or whether we got ourselves in a mess. It does not matter. God wants to turn it upside down. He wants to turn the tables that His grace is demonstrated to the world. Secondly, God takes commitment serious. Before we come to Christ, we are a servant to sin and the devil. After we come to Christ, we are to become servants of Christ. However, we still have a choice. And within that, we can choose to submit our service to Jesus Christ, or we can clamor back to service to sin and the devil. Unfortunately, there is no other option. That's the only one available. We either choose to serve Christ or we're doing the other. Within our spirit of independence in America, I think there's too many of us who feel that there's this, I just really want to do this my way. I just really want to be in charge of this. And what difference is it really going to matter anyway? Does it even matter? Yes, it does. God's blessing, God's grace cannot be upon us if we're doing it our way. God's blessing will only be upon us if we're doing it His way. He lifts up the humble. He brings down the proud. So as we're looking at this picture of God taking commitment seriously, you know, if we want God to act on our behalf, then we need to trust Him. And to trust Him is to not trust ourselves or anything else. God wants us to follow Him with our whole heart. He wants us to, that He wants to be the desire of our love, of our devotion, of our obedience. Why? So that He may show His mighty arm through our lives. Just like He came to reveal Himself at Christmas, He's still in the business of revealing Himself and His mighty arm through those that are willing. Number three, God can use me too. Mary certainly was not the obvious choice. In fact, if you or I were in charge of this choice, we would have been looking for a princess from the line of David that was already living in Bethlehem, that was well-esteemed, a family well-esteemed in the community, that this Christ child would be born into so that it would not have to suffer want, but would have the best available in terms of health, food, medical care. Somebody get Jesus a pacifier. We see that that would be our way of figuring out how to bring Jesus into this world. God took the unobvious choice. God chose Mary, who was humble, who was poor, who was obscure. Why? Two reasons. One, it fit his plan. He was sneaking Jesus into the world because he wanted people to come to the cross, not because there was great financial and physical benefit to associating yourselves with the King of the universe. He wanted us to come because we felt the need in our heart to be saved from our sin. So it fit his plan. Secondly, he did it for us. He did it for our benefit. Anyone ever feel ordinary, like you really didn't have anything super to offer, like you're just kind of flowing through life, not making any significant splash? It's like, you know, you walk through the puddle of water and you don't even make waves. You're anonymous. And you wonder, in your selfishness, do anything I do really matter? If you've ever felt that way, then this story of Mary is for you. Because just like God took the unexpected course of using an ordinary girl to show his mighty arm, he wants to use you, ordinary you, the person with a couple failures in your life. Is he not putting in your heart and in your mind these days a mountain for you to climb? Is he not calling you to a ministry to make an impact in our world? Is he not wanting you to identify yourself as an ordinary child of his that he will use in spectacular ways? As we think about Mary, as we think about this whole Christmas season, it would not be hard for me to ask you, how many of you want God to amaze the world through your life? It wouldn't be prideful to say, sure, sign me up for that one. It's almost a little bit scary. I mean, I would make this portion interactive, but I'm not going to. But I want to make it interactive in your heart and in your mind. Because if there's anything we can get out of the story of Mary, is that God used an ordinary person to accomplish extraordinary things, for God to demonstrate his strong arm through their life. This week, as we face opportunities with family and with friends, will we dare to humble ourselves before God, to be empowered as only He can, to say these words, that we would embrace these opportunities as our very own, with these words, God can use me too. Father, we thank you for a humble little girl who sang a song of praise that can enlighten our celebration of Christmas. Thank you for using her. Thank you for choosing her. Thank you for demonstrating your strong arm through her. This week, Lord, may we dare to surrender ourselves to you, that we are your servants, to do, to live in such a way that your mighty arm will show itself through our lives. Lord, may it be the desire of our heart that motivates us without end. Lord, you can use me too. In Christ's name, amen. As we have celebrated communion just now, I trust that two things have become real in your life. One, you've been able to address some of the yucky stuff you got to clear out. And two, that you've challenged yourself to be available to God for Him to show His mighty arm through your life. As we always do here at Clear Lake Christian Church, we give opportunity for those that would have a decision that they would wish to make public. Perhaps you've been worshiping with us for a while and have decided that you want to put your stake down. You want to become a member of Clear Lake Christian Church. We just ask you to come. Let us know of your intent. Perhaps you've been here and you know Jesus is your Savior, but you've never been baptized. You'd want to go through the waters of baptism. We'd invite you to do that. Perhaps in your heart, you know you have never trusted Jesus as your own Savior. That this talk about this one who came to save us has never been your own personal experience. Don't leave here today without it. Whether you want to come right now, whether you want to catch me at the door, it doesn't matter. We'll go aside, we'll take a look at what the Bible says, that you can know that by faith and trust in Jesus, you can have eternal life. We have two here today that have spoken to me previously and would desire to become members of Clear Lake Christian Church, of which we all say, woohoo! Oh, Scott and Naomi, it certainly is wonderful to have you come along. You've already kind of jumped in and are serving here with us, so we certainly appreciate that spirit. If I can, Ron, thank you. And we'll just, they've already shared their testimonies very clearly with me, but just for your sake, Ron will ask the appropriate questions.
Two very important questions indeed, Naomi and Scott. Do you, Naomi and Scott, believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God? Yes. Do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You want to be a member of the church here?
Yes.
Well, hey, we welcome you, Naomi, Scott, as members of the Clear Lake Christian Church.
And so now I'm just going to have them kind of sneak into this first pew here until after the song, and then if we would all welcome them into our fellowship. So, yes, it does feel a little weird being in the front row. Okay. Don't want to scare anybody else, but it is what we do here. Okay, certainly we rejoice in the Lord's goodness of how he moves hearts to want to be involved in what's going on here. And what we do here isn't for the glory of Clear Lake Christian Church, because if it is, it's not worth anything. It's not going to last. What we do for Jesus Christ. He is the one who is to be exalted, glorified, made large in the eyes of those around us, that they will be drawn unto him as well. Let us stand. Father, we truly rejoice in your goodness to us. And Lord, we celebrate Christmas. Even though we do not know the exact day, it does not matter. There was a point in which you broke into human history, and that is worth celebrating. So celebrate we do, with gladness in our hearts. Lord, help us love one another. Help us lift up one another. Lord, I thank you for Scott and Naomi and their place in our church family. Lord, we certainly unite with them in their desire to know you more fully and to challenge themselves of how they can better minister to one another, that others will be impacted with the truth of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.